بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم: وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ahzab, it is not for a believer, man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger have declared a matter, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they should have any option in their decision. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed strayed in a plain error. Alhamdulillah, dear respected Muslims, it's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has provided us another opportunity, another blessed day of Jum'ah, to get together to listen to the kalam of Allah and the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another opportunity to repent and come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last Jum'ah, I talk about a very important matter related to riba or interest, and specific situations which applies to various stocks of various companies. Today, inshallah, in continuation, I'll talk about the subject of riba or interest. And most of the presentations I do is derived from what the topmost scholars around the world are saying about one particular issue. Today, living in the West, the Muslims face many challenges. One of that challenge is interest-based transactions, loans, which come at various steps in somebody's life. The first and foremost thing to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the punishment for interest in the words which are not used for any other sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. O you who believe, fear Allah and give up what remains due to you from interest, if you are believers. And if you do not do so, then be warned of war against you from Allah and His Messenger. These words, the war from Allah and the Messenger, are not used for other sins like drinking or eating pork or sins like that. However, for interest, very strong words and almost two ruku'ah in Surah Al-Baqarah came in the Quran. Some people around the world might bring doubts and questions on the matter of interest. So this is a presentation from one of the scholars who talk about some of the misconceptions and then answers some of those. One of the misconceptions that people make, that they bring this point that during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people who used to borrow or money or loan were very poor, didn't have food to eat, didn't have any money for medicine, didn't have any money to bury their deceased, and they need to borrow money on interest for some very small things. So those people are like beggars and paupers who had to use that money, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared such strong words in the Quran. So those people sometimes say that today people who borrow money on interest are rich people. They don't borrow money for food or for any medicine kind of thing. They actually borrow money to do business. and they make profit. So what's wrong if the bank charges 10% or 15% on that loan? Because those rich people are able to pay that. So that argument comes, and another argument comes that commercial loans were not present or did not exist at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So arguments like that. Dear Muslims, when the Quran declares something as forbidden or impermissible, it is the reality or the essence of the thing which does not change form. If the Quran says some substance is unlawful, then it is unlawful in its reality and essence. Take the example, the scholars give example of wine. A substance, it causes intoxication. And some people, somebody could come and say, well, the modern brands of, let's say, the whiskey or beer or brandy may not be present at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they present the argument, what about these? If a particular brand is not present at that time, but it's still the subject matter, the reality, that's something which brings intoxication. And that's why all those brands and everything is forbidden and impermissible. And this is the essence and reality of the subject matter. One of the scholars gave a story that an Indian musician once went for Hajj. And he went to Makkah Mukarrama and from there went to Medina Munawwara. And on the way, the caravan for Hajj, they stopped in the desert to spend the night. And there were some Bedouins. They also came and start singing something. The Indian musician did not like the sound or voice. And he got up and said, today I understood why Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made singing and music impermissible. It is because Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard these songs of these people, and that's why. If only he could hear the beautiful sound of my singing and my instruments, then he would not have objected. This has become the, you know, sometimes the thinking of the people today, and some people think that the musical show or the musical artist belonging to my country should be okay. So it should be okay to attend a musical event where the people from my country will show up. Things like that have no basis. Some people would say that this particular thing was impermissible because at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam there were so and so conditions. And without checking with the scholars of fiqh and jurisprudence, they make their own understanding and say, because today such and such situation does not exist, that's why it is okay. Some people would even say that why pork was haram or impermissible, because at that time the animals used to be in very dirty conditions and used to eat filth and dirt, and that's why it was haram. And today those animals may be raised in a very hygienic environment. So what about that? Such types of, you know, arguments and doubts and problems, you know, it's the waswasa of shaitan. And in these matters there is straightforward rulings from the scholars, and we should go and check those and hear and obey. Like somebody has a piece of flesh which is not halal, then no matter if you dip it and wash it with the zamzam water, and no matter if somebody invites the Imam-e-Kaaba to cook that food, it doesn't become halal. Very important point to understand, that something which is in reality and essence, the Quran has declared forbidden, so that remains. And if there is any doubt, then check with the scholars. We do not make our own way out. Now it is not correct to say that at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or at the time of Sahaba that commercial loans did not exist. I'll give you a few examples. Some people think that the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, people just live in the desert and they didn't have money and they barter, you know, barley and bread to do some things, and there were no money and no system. That is not correct. In fact, the scholars give example that the fundamental basis of all the modern systems of commerce were present in one form or the other at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, it is claimed that the joint stock company is an invention of 14th century. That is not correct. At the time of Sahaba, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every Arab tribe was an independent joint stock company. How? The scholars maintain that in every tribe, people used to maintain some kind of fund. So everybody in the tribe brings some coins, brings some collection, and they collect all that money and then go to, for example, Syria to buy stuff, to buy merchandise, and they used to do trades. And this is because, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Quraysh, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. For the alluring of Quraysh, for their alluring, we cause the caravans to set forth in winter and summer. So those Arabs toured to Yemen in winter season and to Syria at the time of summer, and those were business tours. They used to take merchandise from Arab to these countries and sell those and buy merchandise there and come back home to sell those. And in that process, they borrow money, and sometimes they take huge commercial loans, and sometimes to, you know, million of dinars. Take the example of the first interest which was remitted when our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced at the time of last Hajj. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the close meaning, and interest accruing from the days of ignorance is annulled. It no longer exists. And the first interest that I remit is the interest due to Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, which stands removed, which stands effaced. And that interest was, the historians say, was 10,000 mithqal of gold. That is not the principal amount. 10,000 mithqal of gold, just the interest. How much would be the principal amount? And that was not for domestic needs, that the Arabs didn't have money to food and things like that. That was commercial interest, to commercial loan to do business. So that misconception is cleared. Another example of one of the Sahabi in Ashra Mubashara, whom Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the glad tidings of Jannah in his life, Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu, he maintained a monetary system which was similar to the banking system. When people come to him to give amana or trust, so he takes that money as a loan and then invest the amount in business. So when he died, his son Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu, he calculated the amount of loans outstanding, which came out to about 2.2 million dinars. That shows that the forms of, you know, business and trade existed at the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So it is baseless to say, you know, that time the people didn't have these kinds of systems and so on. When the Quran forbids and declares every additional amount that is charged from the borrowers on these loans. Some people raise the misconception of simple interest, compound interest, different terminologies, that they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, the interest was compound interest, too much, and that's why it was declared unlawful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَىٰ. O believers, fear Allah and give up what remains due to you from interest. Give up what remains. Small amount, big amount, doesn't matter. A few cents or, you know, $1 million, doesn't matter. Therefore, all forms of interest are forbidden and declared unlawful, whether it is high or low, whether the borrower is rich or poor, whether the loan has been taken for personal use, domestic use, or for commercial purposes. Now, how does Islam deal with this subject? It's a very vast subject. What are the alternatives? You know, what is the concept? How Islam allows doing business and taking loans? And just a few points to illustrate, and everybody is encouraged to, you know, study that and make sure that if someone is in the situation, then we apply and we make sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with us. The Islamic standing is when somebody gives loan to another person or a business, then there are two ways. Decide which way to go. The first one is, am I giving the money to just help my brother? And I'm not going to get any return other than the loan or the amount. That's one aspect. Another way is, am I going to be a partner in his business? So if he makes a profit, then I will also get a profit. The condition is, if that person, the borrower or the company suffers a loss, then the person who advanced the loan will also suffer a loss if they are partners in business. So it is not correct to say that, you know, someone gives money to other person and says that I'll get 10% of this more than what I give you, no matter what. You know, no matter if you suffer loss, I still need that much percent. That is forbidden. The entire system today, the modern banking system based on interest, has so many problems and defects, and there are even books written by Western economists to understand the problems. I'll give you a quick one example, that in all over the world, in the countries, the people in the public sector, they, you know, deposit their money in banks, and only a few businessmen, only a few industrialists, they borrow money to do, you know, some big business. And sometimes they make a lot of profit, but that profit does not reach back to the people who are depositors. So for example, someone borrows from the bank $10 million, and put it in a very profitable business, and take an extreme example, maybe he earns 100% profit. So he has another $10 million. Out of this, because he borrowed money from the bank on interest, he will give to the bank maybe just 10%, maybe just $1 million, and keep the $9 million of profit in addition to his pocket. Now the bank takes that interest and applies some of its admin costs and some of its, you know, running costs, and then gives maybe 7% to the consumers, to the public sector. So what we see is that there was a profit of 100%, but what goes back to the depositors was about 7%. And those 7% are also taken back from the public sector. How? Because when the industrialist, they have to pay this much interest to the bank, they calculate and put that amount as the cost of production. So when they sell the merchandise in the market, and the poor consumer goes to the market and buys something like a piece of cloth, that amount of interest is included. So the normal depositor was very happy to know that I deposited $100, it has become $107. But he didn't know when he went to the market and buy something, it actually the $10 were taken back, which was the cost included in the production. So actually he left with 95 or 90. That is the problem, that the flow of money in the interest-based economy, it goes upward on a few hands. It doesn't go downward to the poor people, to the common people. What is the advantage of partnership, which Islam promotes? That if there is a huge profit, then they make, you know, for example, 50% profit also goes to the depositors. And that creates a stable, a balance in the society. On the other hand, if there is a loss, millions of dollars of loss, in some cases, in extreme cases, the banks become bankrupt. Then who suffers? Actually, the common depositors, all their money is gone. That is the system which promotes that if there is a profit, it goes to the industrialist, a few people in the society. If there is a loss, it goes back to the common people. So many problems, and so many similar problems, and you know, you can take lessons from how the insurance companies operate, many other sectors. Because of this reason, the scholars say that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, the close meaning, that eating interest is like committing adultery with one's own mother. So grieve sin, so much grieve sin. Now, dear Muslims, what is the alternative? You know, somebody says, yes, I agree, but the whole world is running on interest today, and how to make, you know, what to fall back upon, what is the solution that Islam offers, where I keep my money, and how do I do business? The first thing to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make something unlawful if it is necessary for the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Malikul Mulk, whose knowledge encompasses everything, who is all knower, all wise, all mighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares something which is useless, which is forbidden. There is no point that how it can be useful for the survival of mankind. It's a very important point to understand. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah does not place a burden on any soul heavier than it can bear. So one alternative the scholars describe is the partnership, what they call mudarba, something which shares not only the profit but also loss. So when somebody advances money, there is always a risk in the Islamic system. The Islamic financial system is based on assets. It's based on assets, and there will be risks. Somebody wants to make money or profit, he may also lose money. There is no guaranteed profit. And that makes the distribution of wealth going downward, so that the poor people, the common people, also benefit. Another, and in this alternative, and it is practical today around the world, you know, about 200 financial institutions are working, which they claim to have, you know, Islamic principles, following the Islamic Sharia. They may not be 100% correct, or some of those, but this is the first step. Those alternative forms of investment exist, you know, all around the world. Another alternative, I'll just give you the points, and you can, you know, study more and ask the scholars, is when somebody goes to buy loan, get loan from the bank, instead of giving money, the bank itself buys the merchandise, the commodity, the place, and rent it out on certain conditions to the person who needs help. So there are Islamic modes of leasing available, and the scholars have spent a lot of time, and you know, these are some principles. Another way is sometimes the bank, using the Islamic principles, the Islamic banks, they buy the merchandise or machinery and then sell it to the borrower. Instead of giving money, sell it on some profit. And these two modes, like leasing and profit sale, they are not very desirable. They don't change the flow of wealth. The flow of wealth is actually that the good alternative is the profit and loss sharing. Profit and loss sharing, or sometimes somebody advances money, the other one puts the labor, and there is a joint enterprise. Some people work for a company, some people supply, and they all share the profit and the loss. And those modes are available, and there are books have been written on the Islamic finance. And this is the reality today. Living in the West, we have challenges. If not today, then our kids, when they grow up, anybody who has money in this market, they will face these challenges. We should spend some time to learn those principles, check with the scholars, purify our own life. Like I mentioned last week, that, you know, many companies around, they keep their money in the interest-bearing accounts, and they borrow or deposit money on interest-based systems. So according to many scholars, their stocks are not, you know, Muslims are not allowed to keep those stocks. So if somebody is in that situation, find out, do some research, like we debate other issues. This is the most important issue today, you know, issue of life and death, that we don't want to consume anything which is unlawful in Islam. And when we decide to, you know, dispose some property, some assets, and portion of it is coming from interest, how to purify my money? How to make sure when I appear in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is okay? My brother, these are some of the very important points. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to devote, you know, our time to earn halal and to spend on the poor and to spend our time and money to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanak allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.